Hello. Good morning. Before we begin, just let us open with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this morning, God. I just thank you, Lord, that we can just come here today, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, to pray, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to enter your presence, God. So, Lord, Father God, I just commit this time into your hands, God. May you just use me, Lord God, I pray. I'm your vessel, Lord God. I humble myself, Lord God. Just speak through me, Lord. Your words, Lord, not my words, Lord. Just pray, Lord God, that Lord, you touch your people, Lord, who are listening in today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hi, good morning. The message that I'd like to speak about this morning is about the bitter waters of Marah. You could turn, please, with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 22 to 26. And we'll read from Exodus, chapter 15, and we'll start from 22, and we'll end at verse 26. So, verse 22. So, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So the message today I'd like to speak about is on the bitter waters of Marah, but it actually involves a mixture of bitterness, forgiveness, and healing. So in this story here, the context is Moses had just parted the Red Sea, and everyone was really happy. Everyone was very elated because they saw the power of God. And they could just see the miracle that God had actually done when they actually left Egypt. But now, after they crossed the Red Sea, they had to continue on to their journey. And now we need to understand, in those times, right, even today, there are no shops in the desert, no delivery service, and there was only a limited amount of food and water that they could bring along their journey. So after journeying for 3 days from the Red Sea, the people became thirsty. And so they finally found this place of water. But when they drank it, the waters were bitter and it was not fit for human consumption. So can you imagine the disappointment that they felt? When you come to the end, seemingly at the end, when you have such high expectations, when you saw the hope, but only to be disappointed. How many of you have experienced such a feeling? When you're hoping for something, but when it comes, it was not what you expected. And then you find that it can leave you disappointed and sometimes bitter. So for me, I can personally understand the extreme disappointment that they felt, because I have felt this sort of feeling myself too. But then here, then God says, God tells Moses, there is a tree there. And Moses puts that tree into the water, and the water becomes sweet. And suddenly the water becomes drinkable. And then after that, God tells everyone that his name is the Lord who heals, or in some other translations, it's called Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. So we have a story here of two elements. You have a tree that made the water sweet. And then after that, you have the name of God, which was revealed as the Lord that heals, Jehovah Rapha. So how is it related? And what is the connection? Why did God tell Moses to put this tree into the bitter waters? And then why did he say that I am the Lord who heals? See, in the Bible, when God tells people his name, there's usually quite an important event or lesson that he wants his people to understand. And so we have heard this name before, that the Lord is our healer. But do we know the significance behind that name? So this morning, I just hope to share a very relatively simple message, which I hope will touch your spirit and your hearts. And it just consists of 2 points. The first point is, the solution to bitterness is the tree, or the cross. And the second point is, the path to healing is by making your bitterness becoming sweet. So I'm going to speak about them a little bit this morning, but in reverse order. So the first thing that I want to touch on, the path to healing is making your bitterness become sweet. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and verse 15, Matthew chapter 6 talks about the Lord's Prayer. But in chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So I'd like to speak a little bit about healing. And it's an important part of God's plan for our life. Indeed, God says, "I'm the Lord who heals. It is my name." But as we see in the story, after the waters became bitter, waters became sweet. He revealed himself as the Lord that heals. Now, I am not sure about you, but for me, I would have thought that God would say, "I am the healer. I'm the God that heals." After he had performed some big miracle, like causing the blind to see, or the lame to walk, or raising people from the dead, right? Or healing someone of cancer, of a very, very severe illness. But no, he chooses to reveal himself as the Lord who heals after turning the bitter waters sweet. So here, I believe, actually lies the key to healing. See, sickness is sometimes not only a physical thing, but many times I think God is trying to tell us that this is a heart issue. Indeed, there are many scientific studies that suggest that actually happy people tend to live longer and experience better health than unhappy people. I think there are many scientific studies that have shown that. So we can see that actually sickness many times has a root problem in the heart. And so perhaps some of you here or some of you listening in are praying for healing for yourselves or for your friends and family. However, they or yourself cannot be healed. And perhaps it's because that there is still bitterness in your heart somewhere. Now, if you go to a doctor and say, "I'm suffering from the condition of a bitter heart," you probably won't get very far because there isn't any medical treatment for this condition. But then here, I think in the story, God wants to say, there is a type of sickness of the heart that only God can heal, and which is the sickness of a bitter heart. You see, because bitterness is like a poison. If it's not removed, it slowly kills you. And it's a strange thing. It's a small thing that starts off in the heart, but it grows, grows, grows until it can sap the life out of you and eventually just strangle you and kill you. You know, I'm not very old, but I've interacted a lot with some elderly people. And it's quite funny because normally we get the stereotype picture of a very kind old granny, old person. And it's true, some of them are really nice and very kind. But I've also seen many old people who are bitter, angry, rude, and do not generally seem to be pleasant to be around with. And so how many of you know this sort of people that are old and bitter, right? It's not a very pleasant feeling or pleasant sight. And then so sometimes I get annoyed with them, right? Because I just think that this is just a bad attitude that you have, or, you know, why are you like that? But then it dawned on me one day, right, that the reason that they were angry, bitter, rude, is because they have been through a lifetime, right, of hurts, of disappointments, of bitterness. And they have not allowed God to heal them of this hurts and bitterness that they have experienced. So it just accumulates. So if you do not allow God to actually deal with your bitterness, your hurts, it accumulates over a lifetime. And it generates this very ugly character and just slowly, slowly poisons the person. And also with this bitterness poison, if it's in your heart, you cannot experience spiritual healing. If we know, as I mentioned, the Lord's Prayer just now, one part of the Lord's Prayer says, it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." But then as I read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 just now, if you cannot forgive, Father God also cannot forgive you, and you cannot avail yourself to all that he has for you. So when we're talking on this topic of forgiveness, I feel that there are just two types or two primary types of person or of people that you need to forgive. Number one is others. You have to forgive others, and you also have to forgive yourself. So for others, people have done you wrong. They've done great injustices to you, and you feel that you cannot forgive them. And for yourself, you have done some things you wish you did not do. You regret it, and you feel shame, and you feel, "Oh, I cannot forgive myself for doing this." But the Bible is very clear. With unforgiveness in your heart, you are also rejecting the forgiveness of God in your life. And you're allowing this bitter poison to make you sick. Especially about unforgiveness towards yourself. You may think that that's the humble thing to do. That is the very right thing to do. But actually, by not forgiving yourself, you are saying, God, what you have done on the cross for me is not enough. It's basically what you're saying to God. So you may have thought about this before, but with yourself, you need to forgive yourself because God is willing and able and wants to forgive you right there. And so when you forgive, the bitterness of your heart can be removed, and God also can forgive you and bring this spiritual healing into your life. And to, as I said before, to get healed, your bitterness has to be removed. So the next question that you may ask me is, I want healing in my life, but I have bitterness, so what do I do? And that brings me to the next part of my message. Point number two, the solution to bitterness is the tree or the cross. You turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So Galatians chapter 3, 13 verse says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We don't have to turn there. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that he might become the righteousness of God in him. So from the passage that we read in Galatians just now, we can see that the tree is actually a symbol of the cross that Christ died on. So here we see in the story of Moses and the bitter waters, is that when God told Moses to put the tree into the bitter waters, he was actually saying, the solution to your bitterness is the cross. So as a realistic person, I know that in life, there are a lot of things to be bitter about. And many times it's caused by injustice that someone did to you that you cannot forget. Or someone disappointing you on something, did not fulfill a promise to you. Or maybe just life in general is not going well for you. Whatever it is, I understand that, and I realize that this world is a very broken place. But God says the solution to this bitterness is the cross. And so why the cross? Because at the cross, every form of injustice happened. Right? At the cross, an innocent man who knew no sin took on the sins of the world, became sin, and suffered and died for the salvation of mankind. At the cross, a perfect man was beaten, bruised, humiliated, killed, so that we who do not deserve it can enjoy eternal life. You know, there are actually many ways to die, but why did Jesus choose to die and to go to the cross? I believe it's so that he can say to people, I understand what you are going through. I understand the pain, the rejection, the hurt, the lies, the injustice. I understand it all. I understand it perfectly. I understand what you're going through. Why? Because I was there at the cross. So are you angry at something? You can compare that to the cross. Has anybody accused you, wronged you? Compare that to the cross. Now, I don't want to make light of people's situations here. I understand that people have gone through many different things, which sometimes people just can't understand. Nobody will understand. And the frustration, something happened to you that you do not deserve at all. But I spoke about forgiveness just now, the ability to forgive others and yourself, and you, how you need to do that. And that ability also comes from the cross. Because at the cross, we are forgiven by God. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You see, because you and me, because of our sins, we put Jesus on the cross, we killed Jesus. But Jesus still says, I voluntarily went to the cross for you, so that my Father can forgive you. I became a curse for you so that you can become the righteousness of God. So God this morning wants to make your bitter waters sweet. And what other person other than Jesus that can do that? Jesus says all your past hurts, disappointments, and anger can all be turned around. The bitterness can be turned around and to be made sweet. And he is saying this morning, will you come to the cross? Will you consider what my son Jesus Christ went through at the cross, and are you willing to let go of everything at the cross? So as we close, I just want to speak briefly about the story of Joseph. Let's just read two verses from Genesis chapter 41, verses 51 and 52. Genesis chapter 41, verse 51 and 52. So Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So as we speak, I said I would like to speak briefly on the story of Joseph. You know the story where he was sold by his brothers as a slave into Egypt when he was a young boy, then thrown into prison for a crime that he did not do. And then he was languishing in prison for a long time while people forget him, until one day Pharaoh got him to interpret the dream, and as a result was made second in command of Egypt and was used mightily by God to save people from the famine that was happening in the land. But you see, Joseph had every right to become bitter for all the injustices and sufferings that he had to go through in his young age. But he did not become bitter. And indeed, you see what he calls his sons in the passage that we read in Genesis just now. He calls his first son Manasseh, which means God has made me forgotten all my toil. And then he calls his second son Ephraim, which means God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. See, God managed to turn Joseph's bitterness and suffering into something fruitful and sweet. Even though Joseph was betrayed and sold as a slave into Egypt, he eventually became the number two guy in Egypt and saved many people from the famine, including his own family, the ones, his brothers, who actually sold him into slavery in the first place. So the message that I've shared today, I just hope it will speak to two groups of people. The first one, for those who have been through a very bitter situation and just finding it tough in their hearts to forgive or to let go. And the second is those who are perhaps sick today and you're contending for healing. So maybe this could be one of the reasons why maybe you cannot receive your healing. So for those who have been through a bitter situation, as I mentioned before, bring your problems to the cross. Compare your problems to the cross and think about what Christ has done for you on the cross. And for those who are sick, or praying for those who are sick, maybe ask God, is there a place of bitterness in your life or in the person that you're praying for? Is there someone that you need to forgive? And I know it's not easy. It'll be a struggle for many people. But you need to take the small step in your heart and the decision to allow God to turn your bitter waters sweet. I find that one of the easiest ways to forgive is actually by forgetting. If you forget the incident, you forget the situation, it's much easier to just let go and forgive because you just don't remember it anymore. So ask God for holy Manasseh, which is the ability to forget everything. Just as Joseph called his son Manasseh, God has made me forget all the toil that I went through. And just like Joseph, God can also do that in your life. So you can ask God for that too. And also you can ask God for Ephraim, which to make you fruitful in your bitterness. Because God wants to turn your bitterness into sweetness. Some of you may not be ready to forgive now. I understand. But the ultimate promise of God to you is that He can turn your bitter waters into sweetness. So I hope that this message will stick with you and God's word will slowly work in your heart, in your spirit. And then you'll come to a place where you can say, God, I choose to forgive. And God, this is my bitterness, Lord. At the cross, Lord, you can make it sweet. So as we reflect with the closing song, let's just think about these two points.
Isolate the one forever.
This morning, let's pray for our community, for those who are undergoing cancer and chemo and radiation therapy. Just pray for God's healing and His hand to be upon them, to bring complete healing. Pray for members in a community who have friends, relatives who are sick, but more importantly also are in need of salvation. Just pray that God will open the eyes of their heart to know the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for members of our community who are undergoing various infirmities. Just pray that God's healing to be upon them and that they will know the Lord who heals. For members of our community who are looking for jobs, just pray that they use this time wisely, but also in this time that God will just open up doors of opportunity and that He will just provide for them in this timing. move on to our Saturday prayer focus. First one's missions. North Korea. Let's pray that there'll be open doors for ministry. And also just in general in Asia, just pray for missional opportunities and partnerships with missionaries and organizations around Asia. Just pray that God will open the doors that He wants us to go through. Let's pray also for all the SP weekend activities, the various meetings that are going on, Sunday service, Noah's Ark, different activities like worship, hospitality, youth, SP Indonesia, and also pray for the RT Kendo conference this weekend, that God will really bring His word in season, for that the word that God wants to speak to us will be heard by the church this weekend. And let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today, Mawan, McDaddy, Robinson, Tavistock, and Westside. Just pray that the presence of God will be just so strong amongst them today. Just pray that they'll have a good time fellowshipping with one another, and that they can connect with God and encounter God in the house churches today. Father God, we just thank You, Lord, for this morning, that we can come, Lord, into Your presence, God, to hear Your word, Lord, to worship You, Lord, to pray, Lord. Lord, if there's any areas of our heart, Lord, that needs healing, Lord, in the areas of bitterness, God, I just pray, Lord, You give us the strength, to give us, Lord, the grace, Lord, to come to Your cross, Lord, to bring our bitterness, Lord, at Your feet, Lord God. Lord, we know, Lord, that You can take our bitterness and make it sweet, Lord God, I pray. And only You can do that, Lord Jesus. So come, Lord, heal our hearts, Lord God, I pray. Heal our bodies, Lord, of every infirmity, Lord God, every sickness, Lord God. Just make us whole again, Lord, in You, Christ Jesus. So we just thank You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just enjoy the rest of your personal devotion time.